Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, January 31st, 2012, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Sierra. Our show tonight is about coded artwork from two fascinating people from the Sedona area who are artists, shamans, healers, and intuitives, just to mention some of their abilities. If you've ever been able to stand in a field with a crop circle, you've felt the energy those designs carry and activate in humans, especially starseed. If you haven't experienced a crop circle, then listen to this. Tonight, one of our guests is Kayla Fox, who has discovered that even when crop circle designs are formed in jewelry, those responses have been the same. She calls it light circle jewelry, and while it is beautiful, it's also an active design. She'll tell us all about that this evening as she is joined by Dwayne Miles, who has produced incredible art as visual frequencies. His account of how that was activated while doing matrix energetics work with Kayla reveals the poetry of energy manifestation. He calls it the art of frequency, and his images are stunning, as you can see from the few I've posted with Kayla's light circle jewelry on our show page. Dwayne's story seems to have been woven by design from childhood, and he'll start off by telling us about that. And after their interview, they'll both be with us live to take questions and comments. One of Kayla's websites is cropcirclesjewelry.net, and Dwayne's is artoffrequency.com. We want to thank Sahar for hosting the switchboard this evening. And if you have any questions for Kayla or Dwayne, please call in on 917-889-8292 and then press 1 so we know you have a question. And don't forget to click follow on our show page and tell a friend about us. Before this show, we had 499 followers, and I'm wondering who will be number 500. For our new listeners, our main site is starseedhotline.com, where we have a lot of vital information for Starseed in our vault of knowledge. The entire site is coded for Starseed activation. We also have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com. Plus, we're on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go. And I do want to say that some of those shows you should not be driving while you're listening to them. We'll get started with Dwayne and Kayla in just a minute, but first I'd like to let you know that if you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. Our Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings and your natal astrological chart. And the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone consultation. You can find out if you have star markings and how they determine your natural state and rites of passage. We now offer a Stage 4 support service with Sierra for contactees and abductees, so check it out. It's on Sierra's World on our main site. Don't forget, if you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will occur by requesting your solar return timing. Your manifestational ability is amplified 1,000-fold during those 10 hours, so please make the most of it. And now I'd like to introduce my co-hosts, Lavendar and Sierra. Hello ladies.
Everyone.
Welcome.
Hello, Lavendar here. Hello, Sierra and Arielle. We have a great show tonight, so I'm really anxious to hear what Dwayne and Kayla have to say.
All right, then. This is the interview that you recorded with them just a few days ago.
Okay.
Here we go.
This is Lavendar, and today I'm going to be talking with Dwayne Miles. And I just was reading his bio, and I thought I would read it out loud first before we have this interview. Duane is a longtime resident of Sedona and the Verde Valley area. When he was a child, his parents, who were Pentecostal ministers, accepted a mission and moved their family of four children to the reservation to convert the native people. This was one of many moves over the first 16 years of his life. It was while living on the Mojave and Navajo reservation that he discovered his talent as an empath, spiritual intuitive, and clairvoyant. While on the reservation, he was given an opportunity to study with native healers and learn a different perspective of the universe as a whole. Using this teaching and his empathic capacity to act as a catalyst, he has helped to change lives of many people around him. In 1991, he moved to Colorado, where he experienced a change in the way he perceived and worked with the energy patterns around him. He realized that there was no need to connect to or direct energy because the connection was already there and needed no direction. He simply needed to observe, recognize, and allow the possibility of change in the energy for it to occur. After realization that occurred at this time was that it is the questions we ask that contain our answers. It was from this insight that the concept of having a simple conversation could be more powerful than doing an intuitive reading. A simple conversation can reveal information that will inspire great possibilities for change. At the end of 2008, he had several crop circle energetics sessions which activated and accelerated further changes in his life. Shortly after the first session in 2009, Kayla introduced him to Matrix Energetics material. She suggested he then purchase the audio box set, The Matrix Energetics Experience. While listening to the CD on the universal frequencies, he had an experience which was like going into hyperdrive and brought about the set of color images he now calls the art of frequency. He has since learned to drop into the creative hyperdrive state, and the images have become more complex and brilliant in nature. Most of the images created start life as a photo of nature, while the fractal light patterns added are brought out the photo itself. He has recently found that he can create these images for people and also events that are occurring. Like crop circles, he believes they contain coded information that helps to activate the spirit of transformation within each of us. You can view this artwork at his website artoffrequency.com, or intuitive reading and Sedona Vortex tours can be scheduled at www.duaneredwolf.com. That's DuaneRedWolf.com. So, I just thought, Duane, that I would read that before I introduced you because you wrote it so very, very well. And Kayla, you're there with us today, aren't you? We're going to talk to you in just a moment, but let's say hello to you first.
Hi, I'm here. I'm delighted.
Okay, you and Duane are... Yeah. It looks like the two of you have been working together for a long time. But, Duane, let's talk to you first.
Okay.
And let's just let's get energized with your life and tell us some things, maybe some personal experiences that would be most interesting, you know, to our Starseed Radio audience. You do listen to our radio shows, don't you?
I do, actually. Just started recently and... have liked, especially the last two with Kate, or the last one with Kate McGowan, or time before last, I guess.
Right, yeah, time.
Yeah. And I hear she's going to be back again, which will be great.
Yeah, she's going to be there this coming Tuesday. So yes, let's just hear more about you and things that you've discovered. So maybe you could, you know, tell us a little bit about your private adventures if you would share that with
us. Sure, no problem. I have kind of an interesting heritage. There is a little bit of Delaware Indian in our background, but mostly it's Irish, a little bit of English thrown into the mix as well. And On my father's side of the family, they've always been Pentecostal ministers. I'm the first eldest son not to become an ordained minister in their church at my own decision. At the age of four, I had a death experience, and that really acted as an accelerant for me. I remembered my past life. I remembered the other places that I had lived, the other planets. And that really was kind of a start for me. And that was at the same time, or I should say just after that, that we first moved to the reservation to work with the Indian people. Unbeknownst to my family, one of our church members was one of the local medicine men as well. And when I started seeing things that weren't there for other people, and he noticed that, he started talking to me. So it gave me a really nice chance to get to, as I like to say, give me a little bit of control of what was going on. On my mother's side of the family, they're Irish, and I later found out that they practiced a lot of the old religion, although they didn't talk about it with most people. And so I come from a long line of very intuitive people on that side of the family. So that was a surprise to me. And when I turned 21, my grandmother set me down and said, okay, we have to talk about a few things, or you're going to go a little crazy with your life with what's going on and what's coming for you. So that was kind of an interesting conversation. She talked about all the intuitive stuff that's in the bloodline and has been for a very long time. The artistic things, I can't even think of all the things that we talked about. The most wonderful thing for me about it was being able to tell her that I remember this from a past life, and her saying, oh yeah, that happened, you know, and having some validation for it. While I was on the reservation, I did learn that one of the gifts that I inherited through the family was that of being an empath. And a lot of people don't know a lot about empaths and how their bodies are genetically wired to receive information constantly, and how they also absorb emotions from other people. So I kind of lost a little bit of control of my capacity to handle things when I started going through puberty at 16. And on one of the rare visits that my mom let me visit my grandmother, she came up with the idea that I should do a vision quest. So at the age of 16, I did a vision quest. And that's why I used the name Red Wolf, because I had the animal totem, the Red Wolf, show up for me. That was probably the most amazing experience that I had in the early part of my life, was be able to see that standing in front of me and speak with that, and realize that it actually was another part of myself. So that was kind of, I don't know, that was a real incredible thing for me. And so I've always adopted that as my sort of my Indian name, so to speak. But geez, let's see. After there's so many things I think about. In the early part of the 70s, I was doing telepathic research using pyramid amplification to communicate with other people across the country, and had my very first knowing UFO experience, where they actually buzzed over top of the house, shook the house, and received information that was very valid at the time. And I do have, over the last 10 years, not so much what I would call contact information, but I have from the 70s and until the early part of the 90s received information off and on, which I share with people, or I should say I share with some people, because there's a lot of people that think we're crazy, and we're not.
I can guarantee you that if they're listening to this show, they're with you all the way, okay?
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. The thing that I really, really love about what's been going on with me over the last few years, and as you said, and reading my bio, for me, when Kayla introduced me to the Matrix energetics work, and I started working with those frequencies, because I had just gone through a process prior to that where I realized that we were connected to everything, and you know, all we really needed to do was pay attention to that connection, and that connection itself creates a healing in our bodies and our systems and allows us to move forward. So if we have something we're working on, if we pay attention to the fact that we are connected to all things, the answer is already there and it shows up. It has to. But if we don't pay attention to that, then we continue to stay in the struggling mode. And so we struggle with finding our answers. But while I was working with the frequencies, the funniest thing happened in the tape I was listening to. He was having us call in the frequency, pay attention to the frequency, and then amplify the frequency. And when I amplified this one frequency, the cassette player turned off, or the DVD player turned off, the television in the other room turned off, and my microwave in the other room turned off. And I went, what? So I checked for loose connections, and there was no loose connections. And I thought, I wonder what will happen if I turn the frequency back down. So I turned the frequency back down, and it came back on. And I did that several times playing around, and then I thought, you know, I really need to pay attention to this particular frequency. There's something there. And I start thinking about the fact that I really would like to catch an image of that. There's got to be a way of sharing that. And 2 o'clock that morning, I woke up and on my computer was this image of the frequency. And I looked and I had several other images opened, and I realized that it was a composite of those images. But I didn't know how I did it. So I started trying to consciously do it, and it just really wouldn't come together right. So I started just going into the different frequencies, and I would let them be there, and then I would ask a question about being able to capture them. Nothing was happening. It was just so frustrating because I wanted to do it so badly. And one day at work, I was sitting, I didn't have anything to do, so I opened up my graphics program on my computer, and all of a sudden, I felt this shift of energy around me, and I dropped into that kind of hyper mode state that I feel when this occurs, and I jokingly said, okay, guys, so what can I do for you today? And my hand grabbed the mouse, and I went all over the place. And in 30 minutes, I had another image. And I just went, oh, my God, this is just so incredible. There's got to be a message in this. Kind of long story short, I ended up doing 21 frequencies, and I put them on my computer, but I didn't really want to share them with anybody at first. And I set them to rotate. And what started happening is, as people would walk into my office, the place of employment, and they would shift, people on the other side of the desk would notice something had happened. And I had one lady walk in, and she goes, kind of looked around real funny and said, hey, this is going to sound kind of funny, but did you just notice something happen in this room? And I said, yeah, I did. And she goes, the image shifted on my computer again. She goes, oh, my God, whatever it is, it just happened again. So then I started sharing them with people, and I noticed that they were having some really incredible experiences. And messages that tend to be coming through, I'm starting to get some messages with them. But also I noticed that when people keep them around them, that it accelerates something. I don't know what coding's in them. I do believe there's some kind of information in them. I'm still using a lot of nature shots as the basis of them, but also I'm starting to do a lot more that are just fractal mathematic equations turned into light and pattern. And those have been really interesting. So I'm really excited about them. In fact, I find that I start making the fractals about 4 days before the new images start coming through. So that's been kind of a fun process. But I've done a lot of different things. As I've been telling Kayla, what I've been really focusing on recently is I was given the information that it's very important for us to just pay attention to what's happening around us. And so I've been doing an exercise where I drop into my heart. I just stay in my heart, try to feel that state of compassion, and just observe what's happening around me. And I've noticed it's really brought up a lot of interesting things. And it's brought a lot of interesting people into my life as well. It's just been an incredible, incredible experience. And there's been a lot of changes this year. And I know a lot of people, a lot of your viewers have been going through changes and they're trying to understand what they are. And I really don't know that we have an understanding of what they are now other than the fact that they're occurring. One of the things I did do as we were doing the process with the artwork is I sat and did a bunch of sessions with Kayla with her light circles, energetics, and her crop circle in motion or crop circle experience. Those were really incredible for me. In fact, in one session during the process, she put a piece, a medallion of a crop circle on my heart. And my experience was my heart actually opened up. And I could see the piece drop into my body as if it was a piece of a puzzle. And it locked into a chamber in my heart area and started spinning. And then my heart closed back up again. And I can still feel that piece. If I touch that area, I can still feel like that piece is in that space. And I did go through a lot of changes, especially over the last year when I started doing some of her crop circle sessions. But, gosh, I don't know what else to say, Lavender. Got any questions?
Yes, well, okay, I have some things. Well, first of all, you know, when I did your chart, I really did identify you as a shaman back here again. And your shamanistic abilities not only comes out through this art of frequency, but I'm looking at right now at your other website called dreamlizarddesigns.com. And this is your beadwork. Uh-huh. And I'm seeing the beadwork of just mastery. Wonderful. I want everyone to go on dreamlizarddesigns.com and look at some beautiful, beautiful patterns that you've put together. The animal kingdoms. I love this.
I'm actually in the process of my computer crashed, so I lost a bunch of stuff, but I did a book called The Care and Feeding of Care and Beating of Endangered Species, which is 32 of the endangered species of the world done as amulet bags. So I'm hoping to finish that up in the next year, or I should say recover it. We'll see what happens, but beading was my main art form until recently. There was something when you were looking at my chart, one of the things that really impressed me is you said to me, it's time for you to gather your family together. And it was really funny because in January of this last year, I was told that as well. And I was told that there would be 21 people that I would reconnect to and that we were all brothers. And I've connected to 7 of them so far.
Wow.
And it's been a real interesting process because they're all empaths as well that have blocked that capacity and are starting to let that out again. It's been just really a wonderful, wonderful experience, I think. And they're all just such wonderful beings. Or I should say they will be when they finish up, like all of us.
Okay.
One of the big things that happens with empaths is we do tend to be addicts as well. So we usually have to come through some form of, as I like to tell them, you know, we tend to self-medicate, and usually it's drugs or alcohol. And we do that to get rid of the overwhelming emotions that come to us sometimes. And at some point, you have to learn to overcome that and be able to process that emotion on its own.
Right.
I've been doing a lot of work with some of them on that. It's just been incredible, some of the experiences they've been having. And that's made me very, very happy this year.
Do you have any new news for us about any advancements or things that you're planning on doing, or things that you can offer people if they come to your website?
Well, one of the things I recently did a few weeks, actually it's about 4 weeks ago, I started allowing people to have me do an image particularly for them. And I actually did it as an experiment to see if it would happen. And one of the things, like I did one this week for an old-time friend of mine that, well, I should say a client that has come through my life several times over the last 5 years. And she saw the artwork and she says, "Oh, my God, you have to do one of those for me." And I said, "Oh, okay." And I said, "Well, let's talk about that in the morning." And she went back to her room, and all of a sudden I went into hyper mode, and she came back 10 minutes later, and she had this T-shirt of this dragon on, and I turned the image around, and I said, "Okay, here's your image," and there was a dragon in the image. And she says, "Oh, my God, it's the same dragon I have on my T-shirt." And I went, "Yeah, I got that when you walked in." So, and she stayed at the resort for a week. She pulled the image, put it on her phone, put it on her computer, and she came back just as she left this last week and said, "Oh, my God, you just will not believe the amount of changes I've gone through in this last week. I can't wait to see what else happens when I can really spend some time and have this blown up and put on the wall." So I think that's a really good thing.
You know, what's coming to me is I'm talking to people about, you know, getting involved in things with their name on it. Her name was on that.
Yes.
See? And when you know and identify what your name is on and what it isn't on, and you take that image and that code and you run with it, it's yours.
Yes.
And people will look at you and go, "Wow, that person's really got it together," because they know who they are. And that's what's happening now for so many starseed on the planet, is that they're identifying more about themselves, their heritage, their bloodlines, their star markings in their chart. They're standing tall. They're getting ready to, you know, pull that sword out of the stone, stand there and say, "You know what? I'm ready to go for the evolution of the planet."
Definitely.
And that, and you're a part of that, Duane, and I know that, and I want to be able to pass on your information to others, and be able to share and keep in touch.
Definitely.
With, you know, everything that we're doing on our website and what you're doing on your website, it all goes together.
Well, and I do think you're right. I think most of the people that I talk to on a regular basis, is I've been telling them this year, you know, it's really important that you honor who you are and don't let people put that down anymore. Stand real firm with it and know what it is you want. And if you don't know what you want, don't do anything just yet.
Yeah.
Kayla and I were talking before we came on to air, and I said, you know, the one thing I know for sure is I'm going through a lot of changes. Can I tell you exactly what the change is? Nope. But I can tell you I'm real happy about it. And as long as I'm happy about it, I'm going to go move forward with it and keep doing it.
Well, see, your willingness for change is going to make your quest a lot easier.
Oh, yeah.
It's the people, it's all the ones that say, "I don't want to change," and they fold their arms and they stomp their feet and they don't change, and here comes a truck and it flattens them and they're in a bodysuit and they go, "Well, I guess I should have changed." See?
Amen.
Yeah. when you're aware that you're changing, go, you know what, I'm really changing, and that's okay, because you know this cocoon is coming off, the butterfly is coming out, and we're all doing it at so many different levels. You know, when you think about what we've been carrying for eons of time, all the lifetimes, all the different experiences, we've experienced every known thing there is to experience on this planet.
Oh, definitely.
And a lot of us have just forgotten what it was or is, and sometimes it gets confusing because we think we focus on, you know, too much of it, and it gets, you know, overwhelming, and it possesses our thoughts and feelings to the point where we can't function. And, you know, and that's not a balanced place to be. And yet, you have those times when you go into insanity, you go into questioning, you know, the validity of what you're doing, all of it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's okay. All of it's okay. But realize that it's temporary and that you're moving through it. And when you're through it, then you're going to turn around and you're going to say, wow, I am an eagle, and I got to find the rest of the eagles. And when we find the rest of the eagles, what we do is we learn how to fly as geese, because we need to reconnect with the group of eagles. And eagles don't know how to go in groups very well. They're very alone, and they go out there and they, you know, they soar and fly by themselves, because they know they can, until, of course, they get shot down and they come back and they've got a broken wing. And then that's when we all have to learn how to fly like geese. You know, someone takes the point, right?
That's right. And then we move with them.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah.
So I wish you would put something together in bead form showing eagles in flight.
Actually, I did one. It was
like,
probably...
like geese. Yeah.
It actually, I did a couple eagles that were published in Buttons and Beads.
Yeah, but I'd like for you to do one showing that they're flying like geese.
That'd be a cool one. That'd be a cool one.
Yeah.
That'd be a real cool one.
So, okay, at this time, okay, Kayla, I'd like to take this time to profile you a little bit, Kayla Fox. I must say, though, that when you sent me your bio, it came up in Chinese, and so I can't read it. So I'm just going to talk to you from the hip.
Well, that seems to fit just perfectly, then.
Yeah. Sometimes when people send me documents, they'll send it in that new doc fashion, and I haven't learned how to open those yet. So, so Kayla.
That's so funny.
I know. So tell us, just start a little bit about, tell us about you and how you came to Sedona. And I noticed that you have had an experience concerning vanishing twins, and I want to get into that a little bit. But first, let's just start out with, you know, yourself and what you're doing in Sedona. And just give us a little background.
Okay. Well, at first, I was living in California. I grew up in Kansas. I was born in Kansas. And, you know, I didn't even understand. I went to California, and people made jokes about, oh, Dorothy, you're not in Kansas anymore. And it's all like, okay, I didn't understand all that because I grew up there, okay. I moved to California, and that was basically my home. And I just had a calling to come to Sedona, and I had no idea why, but I came here on a vacation in 1995, and as I drove down the canyon and I saw the red rocks, I started crying. First, it was just a few teary eyes, and I had to literally pull off the road because I was sobbing. I kept hearing, I was home, I was home, I was home. I had no idea what all that was about. I was here for about a year and a half, and it was a really beautiful time and very tough time. And a lot of issues came up for me. And so I left and did some traveling and went back to California for 5 years. I started making crop circle jewelry in 1999, I took some jewelry classes, and it was really odd. Someone had sent me a picture, or I found some pictures on the internet, and I was just absolutely mesmerized by them. I had no idea why, but I started making this jewelry. And so what was interesting was I had several things happen. At that time, I was doing some work with a medicine man, and I used to ask him, "What am I doing? What are these for?" And he kept giving me some information I really didn't understand. He said, "Well, it's your path home." He said, "It's when people wear them, it's a flag to the invisible ones." I said, "Well, what for what?" You know, and he says, "Well, that you want their help. That you are. They can see the flag. They can see that you are asking for assistance, for support." And I really didn't understand what a lot of that was about. And I don't know. I have to say, sometimes you think your story begins one place, and then later you find out that it really began some other place and time. And I didn't really think that much about it after I got to California and I started on this other adventure. But I had to go back and tell you about a story when one time I was working and I came home from work and I was sharing a house with several women. And I had greeted them and I just wanted to get outside for a little bit. And I went out in the backyard and I was just hanging out back there. And I looked up and there was this, you know, I mean, I have an imagination, but I'm very skeptical. So I saw what looked like a UFO and I thought, oh, yeah, that's okay. Because it wasn't way far away in the sky. It was in the backyard. But it was like a translucent-looking little bubble-top plastic UFO. And I thought, well, that's really funny. It looks like a reflection. I looked around, and I couldn't find any place where there was any light or anything reflecting into the backyard. And there were houses in the way. It just wouldn't have worked. And then I looked back. I thought, well, it's gone. Well, it had moved. It was just... It was at an angle, and it had just moved a few feet. I'm going, that's really odd. And I said, oh, you're crazy. What's going on here? And I looked away, and then I looked back, and it had moved again. I did this 4 or 5 times, and I thought, okay. So now I've seen a UFO, haha. It disappeared, and I went in, and I told my girlfriend that, oh, I think I saw a UFO. And I said, I don't really feel anything, though. I'm not excited. I don't feel any sensations or anything. And this one lady said to me, she says, well, when it's an authentic sighting, oftentimes you don't. I thought, okay. So I went to bed that night, and one of the things that happened was I went into a deep sleep where I went to sleep and woke up, but I had this sensation of being like in a hypnagogic state where I was awake and aware, but I couldn't move other than being just so totally relaxed. I was just like, just so relaxed that I had electricity running through my body the whole time. It was like an acupuncture treatment with, you know, the whole body. And I thought, wow, I don't know what that is. But after a while, I then completely went to sleep and didn't think anything more about it. I did, however, after I moved back to California, have another incident like that. And I had not had any sighting. There was nothing. But I did have that nighttime interactive, you know, electricity. But it didn't hurt me. I didn't have any major things that I knew about. I'm just going about my life, right? So I don't know, what can I say? I started this life where I started making this jewelry, and I was just so intrigued by it, and one time, I used to carry these pieces around with me. I had 5 pieces that I made to begin with. And I would show them to people, and they'd go, oh, my God, these have a lot of energy. What's this, you know? And I'm going, okay, well, yeah, they do, but I, you know, they were mine. They were. Sometimes you can't feel energy that's so connected to you, you know. You can't tell the difference, if that makes sense. And but I did have this vision of these pieces being laid out on the body, like you would do a gemstone layout. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I used to mention that to different people. And then it wasn't until I met Dwayne's friend Stuart in 2006 and Joy's pieces and told him about this idea that I had. And his eyes lit up. And he had a great connection with the jewelry. He, for one thing, he's very clairvoyant, and he could see the energies emanating off of the silver pieces that are just laid out in a box. And so, anyway, he said, well, let's try it. So I laid jewelry pieces on him as he just laid down and relaxed. And, oh, my God, I mean, it was amazing. He went all over the place. He went, I don't even remember what happened, but the energy was intense, changeable. He went through a lot of different things. And then he laid them on me. And then I went through all these different things. We didn't know what was going on. And we just started asking all of our neighbors, friends, anybody who would come and lay down on a table and experience this. And so as it has turned out, over the years, now I will tell you a little bit, Dwayne was one of these people that actually seemed to understand what was going on, and he gave a lot of really good communication to us, and we documented with some other people, we took aura photos, and we did some other things to try to figure out what this was. And over the time, I've learned a way of communicating with people. Now, here's the funny thing was that I have been trained in, you know, I was a Reiki master, and I did energy work and psychic work and healing work and all this kind of stuff, and I gave readings, but all of a sudden here, everything had changed, and I was supposed to not do that, and I was just knew so strongly that I was supposed to ask questions. That I was supposed to just keep talking to a person. In the beginning, people used to just take off for parts unknown, and they'd come back, or they would go to sleep, or they'd do whatever, and okay, well, we don't even know what happened. And so it's like I was being trained. I felt like I was being nudged. I was being trained. I was being coached to work with these people, and to develop a dialogue with them, which is so simple that people think I'm really dumb, because I asked really simple things like, what are you experiencing? Do you have any sensations in your body? Do you see any colors? Are there any emotions that you recognize? Or what are you not recognizing that maybe wants to be recognized? It's so amazing. The information and the experiences that people are having, like you were talking about various emotional situations, many times when people have the crop circles laid on them, they will connect with some old information, some old experience, something that was taught to them, shown to them, or something they were trying to understand, and then it would just come together, or they would just release the emotion. One lady, I have to tell you, it was like one of the first ones we did. It's like we put these pieces on her, and her energy field was like a fountain. She was just like, she had this outpouring of energy out of her solar plexus. And it was so odd. She was releasing so much, and there was a whole lot of energy releasing from her second chakra. And during this process, she realized what had happened was that she was in a relationship, and she couldn't figure out what it was that was really bugging her, but she had really given her authority and over to this gentleman that she was with. And in that process, she just did her own work, you might say. This is the other thing I was taught, is let people do their own work. That all that this is about is setting up an energy field that is harmonious. The crop circle energies they have their own harmony, they have their own individual frequencies. When we place, and when I say we, I really have to say that's me, that's them, that's whoever's working with me. I had so much help that I can't really narrow it down. You know, this is like an amazing experience for me. I've been one of those loners, you know, and now I feel like I have so much help with it. So,
and that's true. We're all coming together. As people are listening to you, I'm going to give your website so they can pull up and see your beautiful jewelry. It's www.cropcirclesjewelry.net. And if you go on there and look at the pendants, the charms, I'm on the page called Specialties, and I'm just blown away because I see what you're doing with necklaces and pins and bracelets and earrings and keychains and cufflinks and bolo ties and pet tags and money clips and rings. Oh my goodness, they're awesome. And what's coming to me to tell you and the audience is that if somebody is attracted to one of these crop circles, and it must have your name on it, and you probably need to order it. Like, oh, and when it really hits you right in the, you know, between the eyes, and go, oh, I want that. Well, it wants you too. And so I would just, I'd say, go on cropcirclesjewelry.net and pick your crop circle. You know, when I do charts, I send people their natal and progress charts, and what I tell them when they first start talking to me, I say, look at that chart because that's your personal crop circle.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, yeah. And I said, some people take it, laminate it, stick it on the refrigerator. You may not know what it says, but it knows you. And every time you look at it, it's always a step up. So I say that about your crop circle jewelry. It's always a step up.
Yeah.
Always.
Right. Well, and it just gets better from there, I want to tell you. It's like now... Well, I just want to say, when I had my star chart done, one of the things Ariel did it, and she said that I was the sleeper agent. And so that's one of the interesting things. It's like, yes, I did a lot of spiritual work. However, at some point, something else happened, and there were some things that triggered the happening. And so each time, it's like now I work more than I've ever worked in my life because I'm so excited. I have so many things that keep coming to me and I can't get them manifested and, you know, at a rate that, you know, there's an urgency or something here. And one of the things that I started doing in 2010 was, I do these things not knowing anything, Lavendar. This is the funny part. I decided to make crop circle elixirs. And, because I had put a gemstone in some water one time and sat it out in the moon, you know. Well, this time, I got very serious about it and started, I'm very clear that you just don't stick it in a bottle, you know, because everything has a vibration. So I would search out a clear container that had no markings on it, no manufacturing marks, no numbers, because I didn't want any imprinting. So I filled it with pure water and I set it out in the vortex. I live in a vortex here, the Donna vortex. And I would do that on some very auspicious, powerful astrological alignment. And then we would just try them out. And Dwayne was one that helped me with that. You know, it's like, well, what are you experiencing? Where do you feel it in your body? What does it mean, you know? And I would just take notes and we would, you know, test these things. And it's like, oh, my God, this stuff is really amazing. It's only freaking water, okay?
Well, listen, let me ask you something. Now, Dwayne, I sent you some Giza crystals. I just had the thought.
Yeah.
I just had the thought. Of taking one of those Giza crystals and putting it in this elixir.
Kayla, I gave some to Kayla, and I think she might have done that.
Well, you know what? I put them in a bottle. I didn't put them in water, but I put them in a bottle and wore a little tiny vial, and I wore them around my neck during the last alignment of Pleiades. And, oh, my God, I mean, I was in the zone for days. So,
well,
I mean,
well, that's really something. Oh my goodness, another travel history of those Giza crystals. I have so many stories about those Giza crystals, but now we've got. Oh, I want to be able to try this. I want you to make some elixir for me with one of the Gizas. Yeah, send it to me. I really want to experience this, and I'm sure some of our listeners would probably like to experience that too. You'll probably have to add that to your website.
I know. Well, I want to tell you that I already have made 24 of these elixirs, and I started combining them because I'm just guided to, you know, well, put this one together with that one and that one and that one, and so I'm kind of in the process. I'm ready to make my debut this coming week. I'm doing a talk for the Sedona MUFON, and hopefully I'm going to have everything prepared. But yes, they are coming, and the Giza crystal will probably be next. I like to make them as pure as I can, but then sometimes they need to go with something else, you know, and that's the thing that is... you know, one of the things I want to say is, like, when you stay in a place of not knowing the answers, of not having any expectations, then so much information can come in. And I think this was part of the turnaround for me. I used to think I didn't know anything, and now I know I don't know anything. And because of that, all these amazing things, I'm doing these things that I don't know. Where do they come from? But they're, you know, they are for, they're for assistance. They're here to help us. The crop circles are here to give us information, to give us a boost to our light body. They're... And, of course, I have a whole other story about what I've learned that they're about, because I started seeing them show up in my auric field. And I did this after I did this matrix energetics work, and I was doing some work with someone. And it was really weird. All of a sudden, I have my hands up in the air, and I'm working with this lady, and I see these... it looks like pieces of my jewelry floating through my mind's eye. And I thought, well, that's really weird. Okay. And then as I let go of that, I saw that they were like orbs with sacred geometry on the interior that was spinning and rotating and emanating in all directions. And I went, oh my God, well, that's really cool. And I realized that these are the light beings. This is the light. This is what makes the crop circle. And they do not live in the ground. That is not where the crop circles, as we so called them, actually live. They live everywhere or anywhere or within us. And this is like a whole piece of material that is, I'm trying to figure out how to explain this to people. How do I show them that? Here's what I've done a few times.
I think it's going to come to you. I'm looking at the time now, and what I need to do is wrap up this interview and then we're going to play it on the air, and then you'll be on the radio show to continue this story live.
Okay.
So Dwayne and Kayla, this has been so exciting, and you know, the two of you, you have the art of frequency. She's got the crop circles. And I sent you the Giza crystals. There's no telling where all this is going.
No.
I am so excited.
We are
about
too.
Yeah, about your website is www.theartoffrequency.com, and her website is www.cropcirclesjewelry.net. And so with that, I'm going to turn the program back over to Ariel, and then we will have you on to answer questions for our show. Okay, back to you, Ariel.
Well, Lavendar, thank you so much. And Kayla and Dwayne are with us on the switchboard. Lavendar and Sierra also here. Lavendar and Sierra.
Oh, you want to be here?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we're here.
Just making sure that you're still here. So we do have some callers that would like to come on the air. So unless we want to continue the interview,
no, go ahead and let the callers ask some questions.
Okay, I'm going to first of all bring Kayla and Dwayne on the air. Hello, you're on the air now.
Hi,
Dwayne.
Hi.
Hello. Well, we have a caller that wants to say hello to Kayla, and I think this is probably a friend of yours. Hello, Arcturus Ra, are you there?
Yes, yes.
Hi.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, Ra.
Yes. See, I'm not leaving you alone.
Oh, no, you're not.
I'm always in the area. Just wanted to say that I listen to the show, find it very exciting. And you're much more than a sleeper agent to me. You're a very powerful, creative being, and you will build bigger devices. That's what I'm getting.
Oh, okay. I know you have, for sure.
Oh, yeah, it's growing. It's downloads. I'm in download city over here.
Uh-huh.
Well,
so deep that I have to do a schedule a third reading with Lavendar. I called her. I haven't heard from her, so I will see when I will hear from her, because I bet she's very busy.
Well, I can speak to that, Arcturus.
Okay.
Since we have we're in the beginning organization of our Starseed quest to France, we have just been swamped. So Lavendar is getting to everything as soon as she can, but we are a little bit on overwhelm here. So
okay.
Just hang tight, and she will be contacting you.
Yeah, I'm patient.
So,
I'm patient.
I sense that. So thank you so much for calling, and we have another friend from Sedona that I think we all know coming on next. Arcturus, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, next we are going to talk to Nina to say hi.
Hi.
To Kayla from Sedona. Hello, Nina. You're on the air.
Hi. How is everyone?
Great.
Good.
Hi. Good. Hi, Kayla.
Hi.
We're just sitting at the domes with our crop circles on our domes and thinking of you and wondering, hoping you'll come back and to the domes. And I was so pleased to see that you were on the show.
Well, thanks so much. We had such a great time out there on the 11-11-11 celebration. That was just awesome. That was like a living crop circle for me.
It was great.
Yeah.
So I also want to say hi to Lavendar and Ariel, and I just love your show. I listen to it every week, and I'm not always on the phone, but I just love it.
Well, thank you, Nina.
Thanks so much for checking in with us. It's so good
to
have
friends. Well, certainly, Bracken and I and the girls would love to have Dwayne over too, Dwayne, to come to the dome sometime.
Well, thanks, guys. I'll have to do that sometime. I drive by all the time.
Okay. Well, we'll look forward to seeing you, and I'll let I'm sure there's other people that want to talk, so I'll get off and just have a wonderful evening, rest of the evening, and really enjoy the show.
Well, thank you so much.
Nina.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye to all.
Well, Kayla, I have a question for you. This is Ariel. And when you start out to design a new piece of jewelry, let me put it this way. Does the design come to you first and then you start out to do it, or do you start out to do it and then it comes to you?
You know, actually, I look at the crop circles on the internet that are laid in the field, and I have no idea why some just resonate with me and other ones are interesting. Some of them don't resonate with me at all. I mean, there's been well over 10,000 of them. So, you know, that's too ambitious a thing to try to make jewelry out of.
Right, right.
So over the years, what I've done is I've started out to make a piece through all whatever process I use to make the model. And sometimes they don't turn out, and they won't cast into nice jewelry. They don't come out right, and they don't feel right. And it's like, okay, so I've learned just to let those go. And then other times something will get made, and it will be a really good energy. It just feels really good, and it wasn't maybe what I thought it was. So I've learned not to go intellectually into this, and I've had a lot of people ask me to make crop circles, and only rarely does it work out for me to do that, and it's only if somehow everything falls together to make it happen. So I've learned to just really trust that process and not try to make something on demand or to make it because I think something or because I want it. It's really because of the way that I use them and because they're worn on the body, I don't think all crop circles are meant for that. So I just really trust you in this process even more and more as time goes on. So I don't know if that answered it, but start with those in the field. Yeah.
That makes complete sense. Go ahead.
Sometimes design just does not lend itself to this media. You know, it may be a good design for other purposes, but it doesn't translate into this media. I like to work in silver because of the high energy, high frequency of the silver. That's my favorite, although I work in other metals also. So.
Well, that makes sense to me. And Dwayne, I had the thought, because I am a musician, when I look at some of the designs that you've made, I mean, some of them really just pop out and speak to me, because you are putting into a visual medium what frequencies look like, and I have always said that math is music is what math sounds like, and I'm thinking there's got to be a connection there to put some kind of specific music frequencies along with the art frequencies, and that would be a real interesting project.
I actually would love to see that happen. I'm actually in the process of learning how to be able to make them more three-dimensional so that they will move, and then in the process of learning how that's done. But interestingly, you should say about the music, because when I go into the state that I create these in, I get music with them. And,
oh, my God.
Since I was a kid, I've always had music in my head. When it stops is when I know I'm in trouble. walking past people, music will start up. The other thing that's real interesting is over the last 2 years, I get smells and other sounds with them as well. In fact, the one that's on your screen there, that's indigo activation, when that one came through, I could smell the ocean and could see the dolphins while I was creating it. And there was this incredible hum, which is, I know when it's done because the hum stops. And it's like, so when it stops doing anything to any of the pieces, because I know it's over.
Wow.
So, yeah, I think that would be a great thing to kind of pair up with somebody once I figure out how to make them move the correct way and see what happens with it, because there's a lot hidden in them.
Well, I know that we have a lot of very talented musicians in our audience, members of our community, and I think this would be a great project, experiment, endeavor, whatever you want to call it.
Definitely.
So if you have the inclination and you're listening to bring music to some of these images, I'm sure you could go to either artoffrequency.com or DwayneRedWolf.com and hook up and see what happens.
My email address is not on, and just contact me.
Okay.
I'm open.
All right. All of you musicians that would like to have your music considered, you know, in compatibility with these designs, that would be great. Well, we have a few more people that would like to ask you some questions or talk to you, so let's get on to that. We have actually our switchboard co-host, Sahar, who is very interested in this subject, and she would like to talk to you, so we're going to bring her on right now. Hello, Sahar, you're on the air.
Hello, Ariel, thank you.
You're
Hello,
welcome.
Dwayne. Hello, Kayla. How are you?
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Very, very interested. When I went on your website and yours, Kayla, to look at the crop circle jewelry, I scanned through them real quick because I've always been interested in crop circles. But one in particular just triggered a lot in me, that it brought me back to about 1997, where I kept seeing the triangles and circles, and almost along the lines of, you know, the Alcoholic Anonymous type symbols and emblems. And I said, well, that's not pertaining to that. I know it isn't. But so I found it in your designs of your pendants, the one in particular. I think it's dated from 16th of July, 2005. And it's just doing some amazing triggering in my brain right now.
what is the number? Is there a number next to it? I am
I can switch over that right now. I have that page open, so let me take a look at that real quick. The number. There's two of them, actually. One of them is KT807. That's the lesser one that I felt some things with. And the one that really struck with me was KT878. That one is,
oh, yeah.
I can't stop looking at it. I can't stop. And to me, it looks like it's very, very much from Atlantis to do with something to do with that. That's the only thing I can think of.
Uh-huh. Well, that one I find really does, it does shift you into many different levels. In the center, there's that triangle. They have a name for it. They call it a Penrose triangle because it's like a Mobius strip, only it's a triangle. And so it's like a never-ending symbol movement. And at the same time, grounding. And so, yes, that's been a very strong design. And a lot of people resonate with that. It's always interesting. I personally try not to put an analysis on them because I know each person, it triggers something different. And so I would love to hear what triggers in you, you know, so I think that's important. It's because that unlocks something within you, another memory, another level of awareness of who you are. Where if I tell you something, then you're limited to what I tell you. So this just kind of is my philosophy about how I work with these symbols. I feel that they, part of what my role is to teach people and work with people, helping them unlock for themselves what that information is.
Exactly. I understand that. The more that I look at it, the more things that I'm seeing with it. And so just the more that I look at it, the more that I see and the more that I'm getting, and the more it takes me back. And this is all pure, like complete pyramid power from all across the globe. It's just all that I'm getting right now. And it also ties in as to why I was so attracted ever since I was a child to Egyptian pyramids. And then later on in life, I never made it there, but later in life, I made it to the Bosnian pyramids. And now I'm starting to get information from people about other pyramids across, you know, across the globe. It's
and
just it's amazing.
The important thing is I have found you know, we are stimulated and triggered in different ways. Some people visually, and or let's say most of us visually in, on some levels. And then energetically within our own energy field is another way of activating information that really doesn't get activated on a visual level. And so that's what was the mystery to me when I started seeing people respond to the jewelry or have experiences when they wore it in their own energy field or relayed multiple pieces in the energy field. Then there's a whole nother level of information that is even more difficult to articulate, but it's very powerful in triggering the memories, even just on an energetic level. You start making choices. You don't even know always that you make choices. You're going to make choices that are different than you ever made before.
Absolutely.
So that's just another way that the information comes to us.
That's amazing. It is. It's amazing. Your website, I'm going to be spending a lot more time on it, I'll tell you that, and yours is, as well, Dwayne, because there was something that in your interview that you spoke with Lavender about where you were mentioning about the eagles. It's so funny you said, speaking to somebody. I go hiking quite a bit, and I was blessed by seeing this eagle that flew so low right over my head and just looked at me and kept on going. And then I just smiled and said, okay, thank you. And it was a blessing. And then I was speaking with somebody else, and he says, I'm talking to you, and I see an eagle. And I said, thank you. And tonight, Lavender's talking about the eagles. And I'm going, okay, this is good. These are all wonderful signs.
Well, and just to kind of tie it all in together, just before we started doing the program, I pulled the eagle out of the animal card deck. And the eagle is one of the secret symbols for higher communication in the higher realm. So.
I'm very blessed. Thank you.
Yes,
so much.
You are.
I'm going
to
let you go.
Prepare to start writing
more...
again.
What's that?
I said, prepare to start writing again.
I am.
They want to send a message through. Yeah.
I am. I have been. I've got my paperwork all over the bed right now, and I've got symbols all over everything.
Yeah.
Taking notes furiously throughout this whole interview here, so this
yeah.
whole radio show. But I should let you go because there's more callers on. Okay. But thank
you
both so much.
I'm
so
hearing your voice.
It's good to hear
okay.
from you.
All right, Zahar. Thank you. Now back to work.
Okay.
Zahar, thank you so much for handling the switchboard. She takes care of people when they call in. And we do have another couple of callers. Actually, we have three callers waiting with questions. So we are going to go next to Jeremy. Just hang on a second while I get this microphone open. Hello, Jeremy. You're on the air.
Hello, ladies. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Excellent. Well, I know Lavendar knows about some of my rites of passage in the highly mathematical Arcturian arts and sciences, you might say. And so I wanted to comment in on when you made the comment about music. And I think for a lot of us, we can go back to Pythagoras and the motions of rhythm and harmony and melody in the ratios. And of course, when you're looking at the designs of the crop circles, which is a very big, important activating moment for me about, I don't know, two or so years ago, is that they really aren't, of course, as everyone's saying, they aren't stable, and they actually, to me, they make music. Now, my thing is I study Baroque music, and if you know Baroque music, it's mostly dances or dances that are sung or sung dance, and those are all basically Pythagorean, Neo-Pythagorean, and Platonic rhythms and harmonies, all just kind of making kaleidoscopic colors and sounds and, of course, harmonies. So I just wanted to put that in there to the cosmic stew and encourage people to invoke their higher senses with the colors and the lights and the sounds and the music. Find the harmonics and look for the harmonics. And, of course, I'm always happy to lead people as a musical scholar to Platonic and Pythagorean emphasized music. So I just thought I'd add on to your comment, Ariel, and thank everyone for the wonderful connections they're bringing together.
Thank you.
Well, thank you,
and,
Jeremy.
Yeah.
Just to make a comment here, one of the things that's happened with people who are working with crop circles and have crop circles in their auric field, it's very quickly and easily go into an altered state, and many, many of them hear music. And I feel it has somewhat to do, and I believe this is probably a version, but the interaction of the sacred geometry of that's contained in the crossables, interacting with our own sacred geometry of our own energy fields, our own being, and the combination of the two actually makes an internal etheric music that the person can hear and interact with, which is very unique and special.
Oh, yeah. I hear it all the time, and I write it down, and I do what I can. But they're literally spinning. They're literally the harmony of the spheres, and whatever geometries are spinning in the spheres. It's really kind of mind-blowing, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, we really can't wrap our mind around it.
No.
That's the thing.
No.
You know,
we can express,
we're trying
right?
to express something that that really is not linear, but it's exciting that we're all trying and we're finding those connections, and that's the, I think what the whole thing is about. It's like everything is totally connected.
Yeah, keep on unlocking.
Exactly, and we all have a little key that we unlock, a little key, and then we share it together, and we go, oh my gosh, here's another level in which all these parts are connected. There aren't really individual parts. They're all us.
Yeah.
This is what we are.
Yeah.
Thank you for your
sure. Sure, and thank you all so much. And the only thing else I'll say before I go is that when I was looking at the one that Sahar was talking about, KT878, I got Poseidon.
Yes.
That's all I got. So that's a shout-out to Sahar from Poseidon. So, all right, thank you so much, everyone.
Thanks so much for calling, Jeremy.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Well, that's interesting. Jeremy got Poseidon from that circle, and Sahar was getting Atlantis, and Poseidon was the king of Atlantis. So how about that? Okay, we're going now to, let's see, J.D. from Winslow. You're on the air. Hello.
good evening, everybody. I got all your websites up. Dwayne, as I am looking at yours, there is this tool that you use to move the images around. And in the center, the white circle with the two black lines, it looks like a plug. It looks like I could just plug right in to that frequency.
I know what you're talking about. You pause.
And for Kayla, as you were talking, I tuned in, and there is a spot on the ranch I feel that I've never walked to. It feels like if I get up on that hill and look down, I will see a crop circle in that spot, or at least kind of the remnant, or maybe in my imagination. Anyway, thanks for giving me that inspiration to go to that spot. And for both of you, are you familiar with a musical instrument called harmonica? It starts with an A. They leave the H off. And it's crystal bowls played like a xylophone. Anyway, I just was thinking about it with frequency that it would seem to come in with both of what you're talking about. Something to explore, anyway.
So. Thank you. Good to
hear
from you.
Yeah.
That's a great observation. That is a great observation and a good idea, JD. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Have a good night, kiddo.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, we have next coming up is going to be, where'd she go? Oh, there you are. We're going to have Barbara on the air here in just a second. Okay, Barbara, you are on the air.
Hello, how's everyone?
We're great.
Good.
Great.
Thank you. I have a Dwayne, I've got something to ask you as soon as I mention some similarities here. And hello to Winslow. I used to live there. growing up, I went to 16 different schools. I was raised in a Pentecostal home, which you know what that's like. My stepmother became a missionary in Winslow, Arizona, so I was raised a lot on the Navajo reservation in Hopi. My question is, how on earth did your parents deal with your spirituality?
They had a really hard time of it, honestly.
Yeah.
I started seeing auras when I was 4 years old and started talking to spirits and angels and UFO people, and I got a lot of beatings. And at one point, my mother said, you're free to do this. You just don't talk to anybody about it or you're going to get beat. And that's all there is.
Oh, wow.
Part of the reason I wasn't allowed to spend time with my mother's side of the family was because they were into a lot of this stuff. And They didn't want me exposed to that.
It's in the blood.
I also have an extremely high IQ and I'm dyslexic, so part of my punishment growing up was memorizing the Bible. So have a conversation with me about the Bible. Especially my dad.
I should have known someone
now,
like
now
you.
It's really kind of funny because my mom is an incredible amazing healer. Scared her to death. And
yes.
Just before she died, we had a wonderful conversation, and she said, "I wished I could be like you. I wished I had allowed myself to be more like you. But I'm just so worried that something bad will happen to me if I go, that I just can't. But I'm proud that you have." That was a wonderful thing. My dad said that when I did what I call my conversion at the age of 12 and said, "That's it. This is how I believe and this is how I'm going to live." And he said it took him 20 years to get over the fact that I had changed my opinion and was going against family tradition. Now he thinks it's the best thing that ever happened to me. So he'll call me and he'll go. Now, I don't want to know how you find this out. That's not important to me. I just need to know what's going to happen with this. Get back to me. So, it was kind of an interesting life. I had journals that I wrote from the time I was a child. My mom burned all of those because she didn't want people to know what was in them. But you know what?
Yeah.
It made me who I am, and it allows me to work with a lot of different people.
I try to apply that to myself, and I'm thinking, well, you know, my stepmother went the opposite direction of horrible fear and told me that all these beings that were visiting me all the time were demons, you know. Mm-hmm. So I had a lot of fear to overcome, you know.
Yeah,
but,
and I had that too. I was in prayer circles where they said I was possessed, and you know, we went through that whole process too. And I guess I wasn't because nothing ever came out. Although I do funny voices occasionally.
Sometimes you wish something would.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Thank you so much.
I'll tell you a story. One time they prayed for me because they thought I was possessed while I was at work, and a snake came out of my room, so they figured they'd chase the devil off. And I said to my mom, "Did you put that vacuum cleaner hose that's been laying out in the backyard into my room?" And yeah, I was going to vacuum, and it made a funny noise. And I said, "You don't think it was inside there, do you?" But the best thing I can say to you is just be happy with who you are and let them worry about it and go on with your life. You've got a lot to give, so do it.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
have
Barbara, thank
night.
You. Thank you for calling. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, if I could quote you, Lavendar, one of the best things to remember is that truth knows its own source.
Amen.
So when you hear the truth, your own truth, you will know it, and you can't let anyone else tell you what their truth is, because why it might be their truth is not yours. So you always have to be true to yourself.
Okay.
So we have, let's see, I'm just checking through the switchboard here. I think we've answered all the questions. I'm going to bring Sierra on the line, who's been waiting patiently with her 2 cents. Sierra, welcome on.
Hello.
Hello, Sierra.
Well, we should all get together because I live here in Cottonwood. Would love to meet with you all face to face.
Oh, that'd be great.
Oh, cool.
And I would definitely love to see the art, and I would love to come and get some of that jewelry from you. I'm just so excited. I just have so enjoyed listening to you all. And Dwayne, I am a Cherokee medicine woman and had sort of a similar type of experience, but also empathic, and have it was funny when you were talking about earlier, not funny, but you know when you're coming from the empathic standpoint, you know, you said that you're dealing with addiction. Well, mine was beating things up for a long time, which is just
every once in a while that will surge back through too.
Exactly. But, you know, with the military and trained men in hand-to-hand combat and all this other stuff. But, yeah, it takes something to deal with being an empath, and it takes a lot of energy work, you know, if you're not depending on the other, you know, crutches. But it does. It takes something. And I'm glad to know that you're out there helping other empaths to deal more efficiently and on a higher vibration with that. Responsibility.
That actually was my mission this time, is to bring them all back together. Because the more of us that come together and start focusing, the quicker change happens.
Exactly. So it has just been a joy to listen to the both of you, and I am looking forward to meeting you all in person. So I don't have any questions, just wanted to chime in and say hello.
Well, thank you. I can't wait till we can arrange that.
Oh, yes. Well,
Sure, go ahead.
Well, you know, the thing of all of us waking up, some of us woke up later, some of us woke up earlier, but everything that we did or we're doing in our lives contributes. And one of the things that I learned along the way was some of the events in my life that I thought were really bad choices or really unpleasant or something I was ashamed of, I realized all of it actually led me and developed me in ways that now are very useful. And It just took a lot to let go of the judgment toward however life was going, and the judgment against other people or what they're choosing or what they chose to do in response to me. And there was such a freeing, and, you know, every now and then something will come up again. But all of these experiences really round us out and help us have that option. Without them, we wouldn't really know a lot of what other people are going through. And right now, we're trying to help people let go of whatever those, you know, anything that's holding them back, any events or any experiences that hold them back from moving on, being clear to what they can do now. And one of the ways that it's really helpful for me is if I get more playful with my life and not take it too seriously. The crop circle, working at the crop circle, helped me really understand how everything is connected. And, you know, coming back into that childlike place where they're really things are really much more fluid and connected, really does help. So, makers probably have a sense of humor.
If they don't, they need to get one.
They certainly have played with a lot of people who go to the fields, I know.
Well, that's so great. That's so true. And, yeah, thank you for sharing that with me. But I am... It's so funny you say that, because, you know, life was so serious and significant in the beginning, and, you know, not knowing how to deal with everybody's, you know, their emotional input, their physical input, and everything
it's
like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
So you know, so I took on the warrior, and I felt like if I was scared people enough, they wouldn't come up to me and they wouldn't be very close to me. And so that was my MO for a while, is just to put off this big shield to people to keep them away. And really, it, you know, it's so funny. It's like I was just terrified of them. You know, don't get too close.
Yeah.
Don't,
I
don't want to lose.
I did the same
me.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's, and now it's a lot of play and love and fun, and I enjoy it. And,
oh,
and if I'm in any situation.
Best ever.
Yeah. And I'm, if I'm in any situation that just gets too much, or I'm not managing my own energy or my own shielding, then I just remove myself from the situation now and just, you know, go back into my space, my sacred space, recharge, get myself back up to par to be able to be with people. Because really, as an empath, you can be with a person at such a deep level. It's incredible. And really,
they don't always understand that.
Yes. But you have to have your own work done, because you just got to be really clear about them, you, all that other stuff. But thank you so much for giving me on our show.
And you have to know when you need your space.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, so thank you. Thank you for letting me play with you two for a little bit.
Well, I look forward to seeing you. You know, empaths are always best together.
Yeah, right.
We always have a blast.
There's so much that you get that you don't have to put in the words that way.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. And, you know, we're really all, I think we're all, like, coming to that place. And that's the beauty of it. It's like the more that we know ourselves, and you brought up a really good point, we have to do our own work. We have to take care of our own emotional content. And be responsible for it and accountable, and then we can let go of so much external things that are not ours to deal with, and then it just makes life so much easier and so much smoother, because we're not constantly being thrown this way and that way, because our own emotional selves are clear and stable and not an issue. And when it comes up, we take care of our, you know, and we're here for each other to, you know, I go over and tell Dwayne, I'm in a bad mood today. I'm having a problem with this, that, or something else. And, you know, he doesn't fix it for me, but he can reflect something to me that may clarify, and then I go, oh, yeah, okay, well, this is what I need to do. This, you know, this is my stuff I need to work out. But it's like being in a truth and being okay just to take the barriers down. And that's why I think this program is very helpful. We're helping each other. We're being honest. We're all growing.
Yeah,
and
I like what you say. I was just saying, I like what you say about that we're all evolving towards that, because it's not that, you know, when we come into this third dimension, this reality here, and people, I think, sometimes can get, and unfortunately I see it in the psychic community and different communities I've been involved with for some time, is that they get a little bit ego-driven around it. But the thing is that every human being has the capacity to be empathic, to be psychic, to be this, this, and that. And from children, it's conditioned out of us, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So we are moving towards that as a species. We are evolving towards that, to being telepathic and to communicate and to be connected emotionally. And so it is something that we're evolving towards. So not one person, just because we're empath, is any better than the other. It's,
right.
I believe that we're here as trailblazers to actually anchor in this energy, anchor in these abilities, and teach people how to really be connected to each other and to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly.
Exactly.
Very well.
Exactly. I always like to say we're the catalyst of the universe. It's our mission to get everybody started so we can all come together.
Precisely.
And it's past time.
Well said. Well said. Well, you know, if everybody could just have a glimpse, you know, they say walk a mile in my shoes. Well, that's what an empath does in a heartbeat. And if you could just, for a moment, look through someone else's eyes, there would probably be a lot less strife in the world.
And it's a lot of times I laugh because people say, well, how do you know how I feel? Well, because you're raising that quite loudly right now. So let's look at that so we can make a change in that. Because changing stuff is pretty easy. You just have to be willing to look at it. And then it shifts. It's the easiest thing ever. But, you know, there's some things that you can't solve in a heartbeat, but you can change how you feel about it. And it makes a big difference.
Oh, completely. Yeah. And I really,
And there's so many more in making up right now and will be over the next 6 to 8 months. Going to be incredible.
Yeah.
As I like to say, we're coming out of the woodwork, so everybody watch out.
Well, if I could ask a question then of both of you, Dwayne and Kayla, what would you say to a person who has just started noticing that they're aware of things that other people are not aware of and they don't know what to make of it? What guidance?
I tell them is the most important thing they can do is honor how they feel and what's showing up for them. They really have to look at it, because it's when you try to bottle all of that and you try to keep complete control on it so that it doesn't happen, that it causes problems for you. But when you look at it and just let it move past, that one of the hardest things for empaths to learn to do is process the information that comes to them and find a way of processing that. And as soon as you learn to let that flow through you and away from you and acknowledge that this may not be yours, but you're participating in that at this moment, then it becomes a lot easier to deal with. Some of the guys that I'm working with now, and they're going, you know, oh, my God, I can't believe that you're aware across the country that this is happening. Well, we're connected.
Mm-hmm.
You honor that connection and just look at, well, again, the big thing is you have to let yourself just feel it. You're not crazy. You're not going to go insane. The little white men aren't going to come and pick you up, at least not today. Just let yourself experience it. And then go, okay, I looked at that. This isn't necessarily mine, but somebody's in pain. So if you focus on that person that's in pain for a second and hold space where they can be out of that pain for just a short period of time, it gives them an opportunity to shift their outcome. And it gives you an opportunity to learn how to control what's processing through your own body. That's my take on it. Let's hear Taylor.
Well, one of the things that came to me was I know for myself, when I was younger, I would have a perception about something, and then I would just hang on to that, and that was what it was, and that was the way it was. And it became like a crystallized concept within me. And as I've worked and gotten more flexible, more fluid, like Wayne was talking, I realized things come to people, and then they say, oh, well, this is what it is. I'm putting this label on it, and the color red means this, and that's what it means, period. And this thing I'm seeing in my auric field means this, and I'm going to make it mean that every time I see it. And I think that's where we make the mistake of making things too solid. If we can say, okay, well, the color red means this right now, but tomorrow or 5 minutes from now, it might mean some other thing. It might evolve and change, and it might have different levels to it. Level isn't the right word, but nuances. I mean, I see these things as very very translucent. And so when we have events happen in our lives, if we can look at those events and say, okay, well, this was how I perceived it in that moment, and it was solid, then let those molecules kind of spread apart and become more fluid and flexible. And maybe we'll find out more of what that really means. So that would be one of the things I would encourage, is that when new ideas are coming, let those molecules spread apart. It's like I learned this in metalsmithing. When you heat metal, it actually drives the molecules apart, and then you can bend it without breaking. If you beat on it, it condenses the molecules and makes them hard and rigid, and so then it's very stable. But it also cannot be bent without breaking. So it's just a kind of a concept that you can work with when new things come in. So that would be my take on it right now.
Well, what I was seeing is the difference between the willow and the oak.
Yes.
You know, if you can, you know, go with the flow and continue to evolve, because once you stop changing your mind when you think you've got it all down pat, then you're closed up. So
right.
That makes
and,
sense.
And I would just
sense.
Say, you know, we all need to begin to be at risk a little bit with our loved ones and people that we meet, and just trust your instincts that you can reveal who you are and what you are experiencing to more people than you think. And we need to start talking more and more to people and not being afraid of the judgment. You know, when we stop judging ourselves, it's easier to not feel judged by other people.
That's such a huge point. It's such a huge point, because if you want the freedom to be who you are, you have to grant that to others without judgment. And accept them for the level.
Yeah,
accept others for the level they're on, and accept yourself for the level that you're on.
Mm-hmm.
And know that I was just telling this to someone the other day. We're all on a path, and some people are ahead of you, and some people are behind you. And you can't resent the people who are behind you, because you used to be there yourself, just as the people ahead of you should not, you know, resent or judge you, because they used to be on that. On that level as well. So it's all a flow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
definitely.
Just think of that path as being a multi-dimensional path that really exists on many dimensions. So who knows who's in front of whom, you know?
That's right.
You know, it's a left-brain idea that things are, you know, on a ladder or on a linear, you know, and so we're just having to practice this whole new language and idea of, like, you know, who's to say who's ahead of whom? You know?
I always
right.
like to say
it's a big circle.
It's a big circle. You all start at the beginning and you come to the beginning again.
Yeah.
That's quite true. I think in my analogy, I was referring more to frequency
right.
of
yeah,
evolvement,
yeah,
of evolution,
yeah.
which can be on
yeah.
in any dimension. So, Lavendar, we have a few minutes left if you want to come on and help us wrap up.
Okay. Well, I was just thinking about how so many people that have come on our radio show work with frequency and energies, and it's not about belief systems. It's about energy.
Yeah.
And I think that we're putting the call out, and people are, by electromagnetic frequencies, they're showing up to be guests on our radio show. And it's just occurring to me that this is the trend. So
mm-hmm.
Either one of you have a comment about that?
Well, I definitely agree with you. It's just... it's like you start becoming more and more aware of frequency, and everything then is just this different frequency. And so it changes the whole way that you perceive your reality. And you still have to use some of the same old words because that's what we're still communicating with. But in a way, we're really observing our world and working in our world on a frequency level. That's how we're creating every day that we live, everything that happens in our day.
Right. And you know, I was thinking about you and your jewelry and the crop circle images, which I call energy stamps. You know, one energy stamp can be worth 30 volumes of information at once. It can be an absolute code that unlocks tremendous information through your DNA, through your soul records. It could be, you know, something that runs like a piano scale up and down your spine. So
exactly.
I'm thinking more in terms of, you know, when they send us symbols and we look at them and go, well, I don't know what that is, and we get frustrated. The whole time you're saying that and looking at it, there's no telling how much more evolved you're going to be after you get through looking at it.
That's exactly. True. And we can't always look to our outside world for validation of what it is that happened. We have to trust that and allow for changes to show up. So it's like when, you know, we used to look for evidence. Okay, well, I did this, and so now that is happening. And it's like it's kind of getting out of that comparative thing, but more experiencing internally is my hit on that. What I've seen with people who work with goals, it doesn't mean a certain thing. It means a shift in their vibrational frequency, and that's really hard to put into words. It takes a little while for those things to actually manifest.
Well, Duane and Kaylin, we want to thank you so much for spending this time with our audience and for bringing your work to the world. I'm just loving the way that the two of you intertwine. You're both on the same, you know, creative spin with different manifestations. I'm just mm-hmm. loving it. And Duane, I love those images, and Kayla, your jewelry is just so inspired.
Well, thank you.
And we do want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in. And we will be back next week, same time at Tuesday, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. And do remember to click follow on the show page. And check out the website for Duane and Kayla. Kayla is, I'm going from memory here, Circles of Light. Let me go back to my notes here.
CropCirclesJewelry.net.
CropCirclesJewelry.net. Okay. And
yes.
And Duane is artoffrequency.com. So please do check out their websites. And if you are a musician and you feel inspired to possibly put some music with these images of Duane's, then, you know, contact him on his website. And we could say it all started here.
Amen.
We had such a great time.
Good time.
Thank you so much for inviting us.
Thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome. We're so welcome.
We just love your show.
Do keep us up to date with any new developments in your work. Sierra and Lavendar and Sahar, thank you so much for all of your work, and we will see you next week, everyone. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.
Thank you. not have a computer, so you can't.